Hello, Audio Boo. This is Darcy here with Audio Mode Day 9. Day 9. And a few things to talk about. First of all, it had an important anniversary in the last little while. Holly and I actually thought it was today, and then I double-checked and it turned out it was yesterday. But, 5 years ago yesterday is when Apple first announced VoiceOver on iOS. And that was huge, both for the people at large, the assistive technology users at large, and Apple users in particular. The reason I say Apple users in particular is because VoiceOver coming to iOS really made use of Apple products kind of mainstream in the blindness community. Because before that, if you were a Mac user, you were kind of out on the fringe. Like, there were a lot of Mac users, but they were not nearly the extent that there are now. And it was still sort of it wasn't just something everybody used. And having VoiceOver on iOS really made that sort of more of a mainstream thing, which is sort of cool. And so I've been thinking a lot about that first version of iOS. And what's pretty amazing about it is it actually isn't that different from what we have now. Well, they've added more features, but the thing that I've always been impressed about, I'm getting my, speaking of iOS, it was reading me a Boxcar notification, but, Holly retweeted, actually, I tweeted earlier that, I retweeted a link to the podcast we did back then, so you guys can follow my Twitter and you can see that, but, what was I saying? Oh yeah, everything pretty much worked, out of the box, and that was, I think, that's sort of one of the things that they've always seemed to do with the Apple products is they maybe don't have all the features, but what's there usually works. I know the very, very first version we didn't have cut and paste. I didn't get an iOS device for a couple months. I waited until the iPod Touch, so they had cut and paste by the time I got mine, but that first version, didn't have it. But things like WebViews worked really well, Safari worked really well, and a lot of third-party apps worked really well. And, it's been a pretty amazing 5 years, and I think the thing that's really significant about it is the fact that how many third-party apps were accessible right out of the box, and the ones that weren't, the developers who've adopted accessibility has been really impressive over the years. Like, it's something that I think mainstream developers know about now, where maybe they didn't before. And I think that's awesome. Not even just with iOS. I saw a lot today, people talking about, I can't remember what it was, but there was some Android app that people were saying worked really well with Android, and I think that's awesome that, like, I think if I recall, when iOS came out, when VoiceOver came out, that they had announced the Android thing. I don't know my Android history, but I don't actually think their talkback was out yet, and I'm sure the two screen readers have kind of influenced each other, and they've gotten things from each other, and I think it's helped everyone. So, because before that, if I remember my history right, the accessible solutions you had were Windows Mobile and Symbian, neither of which are around now. So, it's just an interesting thing to look back on. But speaking of accessibility, this is a very blind-centric audio mode today. But one of the things that I, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, was, accessible voting today. We had our provincial elections and I went to vote and they had, a voting machine, an accessible voting machine. And it only had a few buttons on it, and they gave me headphones to wear, and all the buttons had Braille labels on it, and it was really easy to use. It was kind of cool. I've done it before. I've used one of these machines before, except I think the one I used this time was better than the one I used before. The one I used before had the telephone-style keypad, because I think for a while there was sort of the belief that you make a device for the blind, it's got to have a telephone-style keypad. But this one didn't. This one only had a few buttons, and it was pretty easy to use. And it's always that's one thing that never gets old, is the voting independently. And the final thing I want to talk about again is audiobook channels. I mentioned them before. Apparently, the way they work is actually different than I thought even. Apparently, as you use channels, then you have more options available to you. Like, if you are, for example, if you've been participating in a channel for a while, you will see it listed on your main screen. But you have to participate in it for a while. And eventually, you get the option to, when recording, to choose where it gets published, but that doesn't happen automatically, which is kind of odd. I don't know. The more I hear about channels, the more I think the whole way they're implemented is kind of odd. But I think they're neat though. I've been subscribed to the Blind Abilities channel for a couple days now, and it seems kind of interesting. There was another channel that I know MJ recommended, and I can't remember now what it was called. Hopefully I can I'll have to find out next time I talk to her. I think that she was a fan of. I'll have to find out about that. But yeah, I'm looking at the Blind Abilities channel now, and it's pretty good. It seems like good people over there. But I think that's everything I was going to say for this audio boo. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.